Well, I think that every person's different. So let me start there. However, you can see from a mental health perspective symptoms of depression. So that might result in social withdrawal. Sometimes there's an increased engagement in risk-taking behaviors, whether that be drinking, drug use, sexual problems as well, or engagement in other things that are just socially inappropriate and difficulties in relationships.
Boys who witness domestic violence in their own home are 3 times more likely to become batterers. Children of alcoholics are much more likely to perpetrate the cycle of alcoholism in their lives. They have 4-fold increased risk of becoming alcoholics as adults compared with the general population. Most experts believe that children who are raised in abusive homes learn that violence is an effective way to resolve conflicts and problems. Hi, and welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Today, we're going to talk about mental health and generational abuse. We have longtime friend, Janet Napper. Janet is the founder and executive director of Global Go Girl, also Overcoming Abuse God's Way. Janet, it's been a while. Good to have you back in the studio.
Yes, Byron, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Today, we're going to be talking about something that I know you have been focused on for a long time through your organization.
We're coming on a 10-year anniversary next year.
Is it really 10 years?
Yes, sir.
Time flies. I guess we were there in the beginning.
Absolutely. When I first moved to Memphis in 2007, Todd saw the need for this ministry. And yeah, you've been here from the beginning.
You know, it's pretty amazing to see how God has grown the ministry. I'm sure you have probably have seen countless women, because your main ministry focuses on women, although I'm sure men have been affected too by the ministry, have found healing and hope in Christ as a result of their past abuse.
Absolutely. We've had hundreds of women from the Mid-South and Memphis and surrounding areas come through the Overcoming Abuse God's Way training, support groups. Many have given their lives to God. Many have rededicated their lives. And many are living that life that God created for them. It's humbling.
Also joining us today is Dr. Mikhail S. Harris. She is with Christ Community Health Services. Mikhail, good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Byron. Thank you so much for having me on today's program.
And how long have you been with Christ Community Health Services?
Almost exactly 1 year.
Okay.
I moved from Los Angeles to Memphis this time last year.
What a move.
To work for Christ Community, yes.
Now, what were you doing in L.A.?
I was working as an associate professor in a clinical psychology program and then also doing private practice with adults and children.
So going from a very large metropolitan area to kind of a itsy-bitsy one in comparison, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about some of the things you've enjoyed about being here in Memphis.
Well, the greatest love that I've had is being closer to my family. I have family who resides in Texas, and it was just great to get closer to them as well as be part of a smaller community.
Any of your family members affected by Harvey?
Not affected. I do have my dad and my brother in Houston, but fortunately, they did not experience any damage, thank God.
Well, that is a very good thing.
Yes.
Part of what you do at Christ Community Health Services is counsel with those and help those that are dealing with abuse. And today we're going to kind of focus too on generational abuse. Is that right?
Yes, sir. We service hundreds of individuals in our clinic. I work at our Hickory Hill location. And so it's an opportunity to work with survivors and help them along their healing journey.
Janet, you have shared your story in the past here on our program. You yourself were a victim of abuse and learned how to find healing. You want to share a little about your backstory?
Sure. At 2 years old, my mother abandoned my sisters and I. We were rescued by the police, raised in foster care, and tried to overcome the effects of abuse, which lack of identity, hopelessness, anger, fear, insecurity, all of those things on my own. And when I finally gave up and gave in to Jesus in my 30s, there I started my journey of healing.
Did you find that as a child, having been neglected and abused, that you kind of went into relationships as you got older that were also abusive?
Yes. The problem with generational abuse is it's a learned behavior. Thus, the Bible calls it generational sin. So drinking and drugging and sexing and all those things you see in your home, cursing and fussing and fighting, they become natural to you. So when you get into relationships as a youth, a young girl, a young woman, and those things approach you, it's just everyday normal part of life.
I guess, Dr. Harris, since we're seeing such a generation of dysfunctionality, you know, this is being repeated way too much.
Absolutely. You know, as Janet already mentioned, it's not uncommon for folks who've grown up in homes that there have been some adverse childhood experiences to repeat those patterns. However, there's hope. And I'm sure we're going to get to that discussion of hope in just a moment.
Well, what are some of the common signs of an individual that's caught in generational abuse?
Well, I think that every person's different. So let me start there. However, you can see from a mental health perspective, symptoms of depression. So that might result in social withdrawal. Sometimes there's an increased engagement in risk-taking behaviors, whether that be drinking, drug use, sexual problems as well, or engagement in other things that are just socially inappropriate and difficulties in relationships.
Are there results that say that there's actually a chemical change in the brain when someone goes through an abusive relationship?
Yes. So with regard to adverse childhood experiences from birth to about 3 years old, that's when our brain is developing and growing. Negative traumas or toxic stress can result in changes in the neuronal patterns, the brain chemistry. However, the brain, as I mentioned, the body is very resilient. So part of what we want to do early on is provide some social support, some buffers, so that children can have better outcomes. If that's not the case, there's still hope, and we can rewire some of those things that have been learned in childhood.
So when we're talking about generational abuse, we're talking about somebody just keeps cycling through the generations mm-hmm. of a family. Are there studies that show just how many generations have been impacted?
There haven't been specific studies to show how many generations. There was a study done in the late 1990s through the Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente, and they surveyed about 17,000 middle-class Americans. And what they found was that in up to 60% of those families, there were generational patterns that were showing up over at least two generations, but not long-term studies to show exactly how many generations have been impacted.
And we talk about abuse. You know, Janet, you, of course, in your ministry, deal with a variety of types of abuse. We talked about verbal, physical, and sexual. Are these all kind of the same type of abuse? When we talk about generational abuse, these can all be part of that, right?
That's correct. There's also self-abuse. I call self-abuse addiction, harming oneself.
And you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. Individuals that, like myself, for example, who have come up from abuse and trauma and pain, and we self-abuse, it's something what Dr. Harris was talking about, when we want to take control of our lives and we just use that risky behavior to have a sense of foundation or a sense of purpose. So it's with that self-abuse occurs. We have a huge epidemic of addiction going on in our world today, and I believe it's the result of past pains in the heart, soul wounds that have not been dealt with, that they're just masking with addiction, with drugs.
And I guess, Dr. Harris, that could include, we talk about self-abuse, mm-hmm. that could include anorexia, bulimia.
Absolutely. I think one of the things, I read an interesting article a couple months ago, and it was talking about the fundamental root of addiction is a challenge with intimacy. And when we talk about adverse childhood experiences, that can definitely create disruptions in relationships. And then that can set a person along a course of engaging in behaviors that are problematic.
I think that's why one of the successes of the Overcoming Abuse God's Way program is we educate on those effects, how to overcome those effects of abuse. Because what we get are children in grown-up bodies. We have the term arrested development. And so these women who are emotionally challenged and still in that place of hurting from a child, with their adult brains, are now able to understand why they were left, why they were verbally abused, why they were hit and sexually abused, and how they can overcome those effects of insecurity, lack of identity, hopelessness through Christ.
Yeah. And I guess, Janet, reliving that, taking an individual back to those places, it's got to be so horrifying, especially if somebody has buried that and has tried to move on with their life.
Well, when they come to us, they're desperate at that point, because no one's going to want to unravel that unless they're seeking help. And what's powerful about the groups is one person will have the courage to speak up about their abuse, and three other women will identify with it, and all of a sudden, she's not alone.
Are you seeing the same thing?
Well, I was going to add that it's really important when we talk about unpacking past traumas that it be done in a safe environment, and one that really is facilitated by someone who understands the trauma directory. For example, starting off with not jumping right into the trauma story, because that could actually overwhelm an individual to the point of destruction.
Absolutely. That's why we start our groups with 15 minutes of just chit-chat and fellowshipping. Then we move into, how was your week? So there's relational there, and there's, mm-hmm. Comfort and security. And then from there, we just go over our curriculum, which pulls out the women to talk And it's just a beautiful thing.
I think there's so much power in being able to do that in a group environment, because not only is it the retelling of the story, but it's within a context where women and men can feel the support from others who've also traveled the same road.
Well, I remember when I was in a domestic violence group, I was shocked that other people were going through what I was going through. Mm-hmm. I thought I was the only one. And it really is an isolated feeling, because no one talks about it. It's a very shame-based experience. And so when the women come to us, they are at a place where they want hope, where they want help. And Jesus is the only hope and the only help. And so I just love that the clinical training talks about early childhood development. Well, that could be helped with interaction. If someone interacts in that child's life at an early age, a lot of that can be prevented, a lot of those effects of abuse. It's powerful, isn't it, Doctor?
Absolutely. That is the number one predictor of long-term success, is adequate social support. So even in the face of having a toxic stress experience,
right,
a person can overcome the past with support.
I just envisioned in my mind ladies coming in with these weighed heavy hearts and just walking away feeling a sense of hope and freedom that was going to come their way as a result of being part of that. I mean, that's got to be so, so helpful. Okay, when you talk about the cycle of abuse, is that the same thing when you talk about generational abuse?
So the cycle of abuse, when I hear that, I'm thinking of interrelational violence, what may be framed as domestic violence. So kind of those patterns of engaging, disconnecting, engaging with an abuser or perpetrator. Generational curses, generational cycles are those that are learned within the context of a home environment,
right,
that are then repeated, because that's really what the individual's learned, and they repeat that subsequently with their own families.
Dr. Harris, sometimes I understand that an abuser will start off, if he's trying to, it could be he or she, but typically we're talking about a male, that might try to charm first the victim, mm-hmm, and then the next step would be isolation, to be able to isolate that individual.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop here for a second, because I know there's plenty of moms who've got daughters. There's a young guy that wants to date their daughter, mm-hmm, you know, and he's a charming, charming young man. Not because everybody's charming doesn't mean they're going to be abusive. I don't want
right.
to be mistaken there. But when you see someone who is maybe overly charming, mm-hmm, should that be a sign or a warning?
I think it definitely is a warning sign. For a parent of a young adolescent who's in the early stages of dating, I would really recommend a lot of observation and seeing how that male or female, because abusers are males and females, to observe how they are within relationships. How are they interacting with other folks? How are they managing conflict? How do they manage stress just in general? And to see how they're able to overcome those things, as well as observe the relationship between your daughter or son and that person.
I completely agree with that, because a lot of the girls who have come up in abuse, and let's just bring it down to just fussing and fighting and arguing in the house. Or maybe we have wealthy parents that are too busy to connect with the child. So that's neglect, which is the worst of all abuses. Mm-hmm. If someone gives them attention, they're going to cling to that, because they've craved it. God created us to have relationships. He's created us to be loved. And that love usually comes through the local church or our good parents. In this case, there aren't parents that know any better. We don't want to put a spin on bad parents, because hurt people hurt people. The danger there is 70% of runaway children are victims of sex trafficking. And the way the trafficker gets those young girls is exactly by what you said, Byron, by enticing, by providing, by just being friendly and over accommodating. They may not even want to kiss for a month, but they're nice, and it draws that needy, needy young girl in, and now mm-hmm. she is snatched.
Well, and I think that goes back to this notion of relationship. God did create us to be in a relationship with Him, first and foremost, but also with others. And so that when individuals aren't receiving that, then they're going to be craving that social connection even more, even within the context of a negative or unhealthy relationship.
That's what's so interesting, Janet, about your organization, Overcoming Abuse God's Way. It was originally God's design for us to have honest, open mm-hmm. communication, needing each other in a healthy environment, always in a healthy environment. But when you get in a place where you have been abused, that doesn't mean you have to stay there. You can overcome. And as we're talking about this topic of mental health as it relates to overcoming abuse, there is a way that you can be involved. And we want to go ahead and let you know about God's Way 2017 Annual Banquet for Mental Health and Generational Abuse. It's your annual banquet.
It is our annual banquet.
Coming up Tuesday, October 17th at Bellevue Baptist Church. You want to give us some details?
Sure. The banquet is, again, the 17th of October. It's a Tuesday night. We designed it around those getting off of work. So dinner starts at 6:30. We go till 8 o'clock, honoring those who have to go to work and school in the morning. Doors open at 6, and we're going to have Dr. Laura Schultz. She works with Dr. Harris here at the Christ Community Health Services. She is the Chief Clinical Executive for the Behavioral Health Department of the Christ Community Health Services. She is our guest speaker. She's going to be talking about mental health and generational abuse, everything you've heard here today. I'm a firm believer if one person in that dysfunctional family gives their life to God and searches out how to overcome the effects and the hurt and the pain that they've been through, they can now be better parents, wives, daughters, mothers, and draw others in through their unconditional love.
Well, I knew Laura when she was working on her PhD, so she is a phenomenal speaker, a good friend too, so I know that she'll be a great delight to those who attend. Now, in order to get tickets, is there a website to go to? How do you get your tickets?
Well, you can go to overcomingabusegodsway.com, or you can also look us up at the Eventbrite page for October 17th or mental health and generational abuse.
You also have your husband, Kenneth, on the venue.
Yes, Byron. Kenneth has conducted a men's group for probably 2 years, maybe 3 years. And he had guys traveling from Senatobia for over a year into the South Haven area. Their marriages are restored. These are men that have had sexual abuse or physical abuse as little boys. They grew up with anger and took it out on their wives. They didn't know how to overcome that. Powerful stuff.
It's pretty exciting to see how your organization has diversified, you know, going into the male realm. So I like that. Also, talk about some of your other guests that night.
Sure. We have Paul Berkus. He's going to minister in song as we have dinner and fellowship. He is a Christian recording artist. We have Venetia Johnson. She is someone within our organization. We're helping her to get her first single out. We believe that if we can empower women with the giftings and callings that God has given us, then we're making the disciples. And then Kenneth and I will share about the organization. We'll have a few acknowledgments and giveaways and things like that.
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Be a great thing. Okay, well, we're talking about children involved in abused homes. They don't have to directly be involved. I mean, they could be just witnessing mom and dad verbally attacking each other. Can that still impact him?
Absolutely. So when we think about adverse childhood experiences, that can include physical, sexual, emotional abuse or neglect. It can involve witnessing domestic violence within the home. It can also extend out into the community to include things like community violence. In Memphis, you know, we have a lot of crime and things that go on in our communities. So that can also be an adverse impact. But the degree to which it affects the child really depends on many things. There's some genetic predisposition to toxic stress. There are also environmental supports, as we've talked about before, as well as nurturing environments. And so I think all three of those things really have to be addressed to see the long-term outcomes for the child.
Some of the contributors we talk about in our certification training is to the simplest form of condensed homes, dirty homes, loud neighborhoods. So all of that can contribute to someone having the effects of abuse.
Wow. How do victims of generational abuse set boundaries that protect them and then also help them to break free of the cycle of victimization? Does that make sense?
It does. I think the most important core thing to address that is being vulnerable. I mean, I think you can't set an appropriate boundary if you are not in tune with your own pain. And so I really appreciate Janet and your organization because I think it provides that space to be vulnerable. From there, once you're able to identify your own pain, then you're opening up a dialogue with yourself and with others with regard to how to protect and safeguard your heart so that you can be in a healthy relationship and environment.
I'm a firm believer that you cannot overcome anything without the power of God. So our support groups or any domestic violence or abuse support group for that matter is not a one and all. We always encourage the local church. We encourage hooking up with like-minded people that are going down that path of holiness, if you want to say, so that they're not alone. Because when one steps out of a domestic violence or one steps out in an abusive family, they're an outcast. They're an outcast, and they're going to be lonely, and they're going to need support greater mm-hmm. than one time a week.
Well, also, statistics, I think, also speak pretty highly of those who get away from their abuser. There's a high percentage of those who are killed.
Yes, the greatest risk for any sort of abuse is actually at leaving. And so I think it's important in those situations to work with that individual, male or female, to have a really specific and detailed safety plan to really help them walk through and consider all the potential options, consider the social supports, and consider what needs to be in place when they do leave.
I wouldn't mind saying that if someone listening today, Byron, is in a violent situation, they can call us and we can refer them out of the area. There are so many places that we're connected with, not only in Tennessee and Mississippi, but around the country.
And these are mm-hmm. safe havens. These are safe places to go.
These are safe Christian restoration homes. Yes, sir.
Throw that number out there, 901-605-8087.
That's correct.
901-605-8087. And let's talk to that someone right now, Dr. Harris, that's possibly listening that says, for the first time, I'm hearing things you're saying, and I want to change. I don't want to continue on. I've been a victim. I don't know the first place to start.
Mm-hmm. I would say, actually, I wrote down a scripture, and I would love to read this because I think it really speaks to this whole idea of generational curses and the responsibility and we can take as individuals to change. So do you mind if I share that?
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Okay. It's from Jeremiah 31:29. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. And I love this because I think it speaks, A, to, yes, there are things that can occur in families, generational patterns that can exist. However, the question really is, how will I, as that individual, how will I choose to eat the sour grape, and what decision will I make to go forward? So I think that to an individual who's struggling, I would beckon you to call upon the name of Jesus first and foremost, because he is there to rescue you. Second of all, share that within the context of a safe relationship at church or with a professional so that your story can really come out of you, so that it really can come alive and you can own that voice and help to correct some of the things in the past.
Does that victim need to include other family members, when able, into this quest to break the cycle?
I think it depends on the relationship. If those relationships have been vetted and it's within a safe context and good, healthy communication, then yes. If there's some concerns around boundaries and things are unhealthy, absolutely not. And that can be managed with the guidance of a professional and other organizations, as Janet mentioned.
Also, I was wondering, are there any studies that show where children that spend large amount of time playing violent video games and watching graphic violence in movies could contribute to generational?
So the studies with regard to childhood aggression and outcomes with regard to video games and so forth is mixed. There are those studies that say, yes, if a child is exposed to long-term cumulative violent actions and behaviors, that it does increase the risk for them doing that. At the same time, some of those studies have been debunked, largely because of how the research was conducted. But I think we can always err on the side of creating healthy, positive, and uplifting Christ-centered environments so that our children and adults can fare well.
Despite the horrible way generational abuse has affected many families, no one is without hope. We've been talking about this message of hope by turning to Christ for healing. How have you seen victims' lives change in your practice?
Oh, dear. It almost brings me to tears. I'm going to try not to get emotional. This is one of the most beautiful aspects of my job because I don't see it as a job. It really is a ministry. But to be able to see a woman or man come in and have experienced things that are devastating to their spirit, and yet be able to invite Christ into that conversation, to be able to help them understand these cycles and understand themselves and recognize the power that they have within themselves to make a difference, is absolutely incredible. It's just amazing.
Do you have any story without mentioning names? I know mm-hmm. you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. I do. I've worked with a woman in the past who had some severe traumas. There were some childhood traumas. She then subsequently led herself or was in situations that were violent in marital relationships, and then subsequently turned to substance use as a way to cope with that pain. And so when she came to our clinic, it was very complex. And so peeling back the layers with her was long-term and something that she was interested in and wanted to do. I've been able to see her literally address each one of those layers of trauma, because that's really what it is, systematically. And she is completely different than when she walked through the doors of Christ Community.
I have a good story as well. We had a young woman come in, and the first thing she did when she came in my office, she said, "I'm not forgiving my brother." Well, let's fast forward 6 months down into her coaching. She threw a magazine at me and it said forgiveness. She said, "God's telling me to forgive my brother." And she was angry because she knew she had to forgive him. Fast forward another 6 months, that man died of cancer. But before he died, he told his sister he was sorry for what he had done, because she had forgiven him 6 months earlier and started walking in the love of God.
Great story, ladies. Yeah. Great stories. Thank you so much. Well, our time's slipping on this program. Overcoming Abuse God's Way, the 2017 annual banquet, Mental Health and Generational Abuse, taking place at Bellevue Baptist Church on Tuesday, October 17th. You can get your tickets by going to Eventbrite, or you can call this number, 901-605-8087. 901-605-8087. I encourage you to go ahead and call now and get those tickets and come. Great speakers, a good meal, and help support an organization that is really there meeting a need for people to come be vulnerable, transparent, and really see life change as a result. Thank you so much for what both of you are doing for Christ's kingdom. Thank you for being our guest. Dr. Harris, if someone wants to know more information about Christ Community Health Services, what should they do?
They can visit our website at christchs.org. They're also welcome to give me a call at Hickory Hill. The number there is 901-701-2560, and I'd be happy to point them in the right direction.
And you guys work on a sliding scale basis, too, for help. And so
we do.
You can fit into anybody's budget.
We serve the uninsured, the underinsured, and the insured. So we will address any need in our community.
All right. Thank you so much. Also, don't forget to go to the website, overcomingabusegodsway.com, overcomingabusegodsway.com. That's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.